May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Are you discouraged? Do you feel like Jesus hasn't really shown up in your daily life recently? Well, on this Rose Sunday, we take a brief respite in our Advent penitence to discover the joy of Jesus all over again. Our Lord is not far away from any one of us. We are not abandoned, forsaken, or left to our own devices. Jesus is with us by his Spirit, and he is coming again. So we do well to be encouraged by our Savior's own words this morning. So as we look in our gospel lesson, we see Jesus first talking to John's disciples and then addressing the crowd as a whole. And each step of the way, our Lord builds a case for our comfort and joy. But I'd like to kind of reverse the order of that in our reading this morning. You see, Jesus ends our passage today with talking about his hearers, which of course would include us. And I think that we Americans can stumble too easily into that cultural narcissism that we have that surrounds us. And we fall into this trap that we end up becoming puffed up. And we have thoughts of, well, the grace of our Lord God has made me so great. But the main focus of what Jesus is talking about is about himself, who he is, and only about John the Baptist and his faithful followers secondarily. So I'll start with us, so that way Jesus' last words can be about himself. My hope is that you'll leave thinking about how marvelous and awesome Jesus is, and not how great and wonderful any one of us may think that we are. At the end of our passage, Jesus has some very encouraging things to say about us. Our Savior declares, "The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he," John the Baptist. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are starting at a bonus level higher than the regular player in this video game of life. God's love isn't just theoretical, but it's a practical reality all ready for you to experience every single day. Whether you're actually taking advantage of that head start may be a different question, but the actual fact is that if you have put your trust in the saving work of Jesus Christ, then you have a direct line with the Father for all of your needs in both this life and the next. The kingdom of God has already begun to rule in your heart. Then, moving up the page, we see that Jesus has some encouraging things to say about John the Baptist as well. And this isn't mere flattery. It's recognizing who John is, how vital his role is in the history of salvation. Last week, I mentioned that Jesus had talked about how important John's ministry was. Well, here, in today's text, we see Jesus backing that up. He says, "Among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist." Now, that's saying quite a lot. I mean, you have Noah, who built the ark and saved a remnant of humanity in the animal kingdom from universal destruction. You have Abraham, who was promised an inheritance of land and children, including that messianic promise that one of his seed would end up being the one who would rescue all of humanity and bless the whole world as a result. You even have Moses, who led Israel out of Egyptian slavery and into a new land of promise and gave them God's holy law. And of course, that doesn't even touch other luminaries that we find, like David, Solomon, Daniel, or Nehemiah. So then why is John such a big deal? Well, Jesus connects John to a promise given in Malachi chapter 3, where the forerunner, the prophet who prepares the way for the Messiah's coming, is mentioned. Jesus quotes, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way, prepare your way before you." John set the stage for Jesus' public ministry. And for that, our Lord gives him due respect. We may not have a sense today of just how important and impactful John's ministry was at the time, even though it was enough to impress Muslims 600 years later who consider John the Baptist a prophet. And of course, our own evangelists in the Christian world who wrote the Gospels, each one of those four Gospels prominently mentions that camel hair clad prophet. We should be grateful for John the Baptist. In fact, grateful for all of those believers in God over the millennia who persevered and gave us those promises that we find in Holy Scripture that our Lord will indeed come to save us. Moving further up the text then from John to us this morning, we come to from John and us to the top of the passage, we finally come to that the main mover and shaker in this passage, Jesus himself. Of course, we start off by finding out that John the Baptist is in prison. He was the one who had called out Herod for his illicit marriage and called it sinful because Herod had gone ahead and stolen his brother's wife from him. So as a result, John was duly incarcerated. So it's easy to imagine that John is sitting there in jail wondering if he had really done the right thing. Was all of this calling people to repent worth all this trouble? Well, to answer that question, John rightly figures, well, if Jesus is indeed the Messiah, then all of his current woes were worth it. So John sends messengers to Jesus, and Jesus promptly replies to his query with the messianic promises that you discover readily from Isaiah 61 and from Isaiah verse 8. Whether we're talking about blind men seeing or blessing those who take no offense in our Lord Jesus, Christ ties his ministry time and again to these and other Old Testament messianic promises, especially those that we find in the prophet Isaiah. Our Savior is no slouch when it comes to rallying biblical support for his identity and his mission. But Jesus also answers the messengers from John by encouraging them to report what they themselves have seen and heard. It's easy for us to forget that the Spirit is still active in our world today, as most of us have in some way imbibed an anti-supernatural bias in our culture. Instead of marveling at the mysteries and miracles that we encounter in the Bible, we try to explain them away. Or we go in the opposite direction and have debates with people trying to prove that God did them. And both of those approaches often forget that this world is more than merely physical. And I do think that there's a time and place to engage in those kinds of apologetic endeavors to demonstrate that thoughtful people can and should trust that the gospel they believe is indeed true. But if we do that at the expense of wonder, if we lose that sense of majestic awe that we ought to have for what God has done, then we're not being true to the revelation of such mighty works that we read about in Scripture. People are rarely convinced by our cogent arguments, but they are often moved when they see that we are moved by the wonders that we claim to believe. The best testimonies to Christian faith have one foot planted in the Bible and the other in daily life. And not just that old saying about preach with the Bible on one hand and the newspaper in the other, but your personal newspaper, your own experience with Jesus, your own eyewitness account to the goodness and joy of our Lord. We rely on the Bible for the authority to back up what we say. But if we don't have a first-hand encounter of that truth, then we lack authenticity. I could talk all day long about the life and ministry of Jesus in all of the book of Matthew, but it's nothing more than a theological TED talk if you don't know how I've experienced Jesus. How on Good Friday, 1986, at a passion play, I came to realize that not only did God so love the world, but that He loved me. How they made the offer for people to come forward and receive prayer, and I felt the tug on my heart to come down. How the moment I got on my knees, I burst into tears, overwhelmed with the love of Jesus. How when the pastor went around and asked each person what God had done for them that evening, out of nowhere I blurted out the words, "I'm saved." And that's not the only way that I've experienced Jesus. I've also discovered Him in the humdrum of daily life, smoothing out the rough edges over time, building a sense of assurance that He loves me, even though I have a tendency to beat myself up over mistakes, providing for my needs in timely, dare I say, miraculous ways, despite those few times that I've trusted more in the Powerball than in Him. Our Father's faithfulness over time is as much a part of my experience as those mountaintop moments of transformation like I had on that Good Friday, 1986. So this morning, if you're discouraged in an emotional prison like John the Baptist was in a literal prison, be encouraged. Jesus thinks pretty darn highly of you, even if you consider yourself the least in the kingdom of heaven. Our Father even sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for you to meet the Lord right where you are today. Plus, the good news that's been promised, that's been preached from the beginning to this very day, it's true. Jesus is the promised Messiah, the Savior from heaven come to earth. We know this as we read multiple Old Testament promises about His coming that our Lord and Father has kept. And hopefully, you know all of this firsthand as well, as you look and see how the Spirit has been at work in you and in the world around you. I have great confidence for us who believe that if you simply take time and look back over your life since baptism, especially since owning up to that baptismal grace by faith, you'll see all sorts of ways that Christ has proven Himself faithful to you. And if you're really just coming alive to a faith or are still searching, well, take a look around you and see maybe how God is bringing a John the Baptist-like preparation for you to receive Jesus into your own heart and life. And no matter what, be joyful. We light the pink candle today for a reason. And that reason is because Jesus is the center of every joy in heaven and on earth. Let us pray. Father of all joy and comfort, encourage our hearts with the good news. Not only are you making us into something great for your kingdom, not only have you paved the way for our salvation in the life and ministry of John the Baptist, but you also show us time and again in your word and in our lives that Jesus is the fulfillment of the good news we long to hear. Where we are blind, help us see Christ at work. Where we are lame or leprous, help us to walk in health and wholeness and to be cleansed from the corruption of sin. Where we've been deaf, open our ears to hear you. Grant that we might heed the Spirit's message of hope and salvation, that we might not stumble over our Savior, but make him the chief cornerstone in our lives. Grant this for the sake of his love. Amen. Amen.